Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to the Video Games Now podcast, and this is episode 22. My name's Rodney, and joined by my Skype account is Will. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
And Brooks as well is joining us.
Hey, folks, how you doing?
And Mark will join us later. He's, you know, doing adult stuff and buying groceries or whatever he does in his spare time. So he'll probably join us halfway through the podcast, but it's getting late here, so we wanted to get something out there. So today we're going to talk about State of Decay 2, which was released, I think, last week, right, Will? Something like that?
No, it was released 2 days ago.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm up with the news right now. But, yeah, so Will, Brooks, and Mark have all played it pretty much, you know, like a good couple of hours, 3-4 hours, maybe even more in the case of Will and Mark, but I haven't played it yet. I haven't downloaded it. I'm going to play it this weekend, and I just bought a capture card for my computer, so we'll be streaming that and putting some stuff on our YouTube page. It's going to be sweet, and a little bit later in the podcast, we're going to talk about Call of Duty Black Ops 4 and Battlefield 5. The details are released yesterday by DICE in terms of what the game's going to be about, the game modes, all that kind of stuff. And then we'll finish with, or maybe we'll even talk about Fortnite in a little bit before all that. The plans that Epic Games has to revive. It's like booming, literally booming. So we'll talk about all that, and that's all coming up right now. All right, boys, let's talk about State of Decay 2. So you guys, Brooks, how many hours have you played State of Decay 2 now? You started yesterday, right?
Probably too many to admit. I've probably got about 8 hours in the game now. I'm on day 8 in my playthrough.
Day 8. That's cool. And then, what's your name? Will. you played way more than that, I'm sure, because you've been playing basically since it got released.
Not entirely. I'm only on day 9, so I think I'm about 10 hours, maybe not 9.5, somewhere around there.
So how does the day system work? Like, is it pretty well real time or no?
I believe day night cycles are 30 minutes. So 30 minutes of night, 30 minutes of day. So it's an hour per day as far as I know.
Okay. That's not too bad.
It's actually fairly long too, because the nights in this game are so dark that they feel like an eternity. Any longer than that would be ridiculous.
Is it like Sea of Thieves dark bad? Like, is the when
yeah.
it's night? Yeah, when it's nighttime in Sea of Thieves, you can't see a bloody thing.
Yeah, but it's you can't see shit.
They've added gamma controls though, so once it becomes nighttime, I just crank the gamma full as I can, and it kind of gives it a light glare, so I can see in the dark.
Sorry, is that for Sea of Thieves or for State of Decay?
State of Decay.
Oh, okay.
Sea of Thieves needs that feature.
Oh yeah, totally.
One thing I'm really liking about State of Decay nighttime so far, though, is that when you're sneaking through the darkness and you just see a glowing pair of red eyes in the darkness, it's really, really terrifying.
Yeah, I bet. Is it like zombie you terrifying, or is it like a new?
I'd say it's scarier than that. I mean, not scary. It's just tense though, because of the permadeath factor. The game just feels really tense at all time, knowing that your character could just get ripped in half and that's it.
Right. Oh yeah, and we wanted to mention, we try to keep this podcast as clean as possible, but it's really, really, really hard for us because we have sailor mouths off the air, literally like dropping F-bombs like they're candy. And yeah, so we probably will not drop as many F-bombs as we normally would in real life, but there might be one or two that might pop out every once in a while, especially coming up to E3 when something cool gets released, we'll be like, So, there's going to be a lot of shit and a lot of ass on the podcast. Not in that order.
You can't expect too much from us. We all work in film.
Yeah, oh man, film people have the most vulgar vocabulary ever. My boss particularly, you would never expect that to come out of a woman's mouth, but it's some vulgar stuff. Anyways.
So, Will, what do you think is the best part about State of Decay 2 so far? And I guess just to backtrack a little bit, did you play the first one?
Yes, I did. I didn't play as much as I should have. I have a bad habit, especially of when games come out, is I'll play a game and then another game will come out, and I'll kind of put that the previous one on the shelf and keep moving forward. Basically, with this holiday, I've managed to catch up and get my game catalog down, but I know once we go back to work in about a week or so, it's going to be the same thing this year. E3's coming, more games on the way. I'm going to start a game, put it down, start another one, and it'll take me a while to go back to it. So I miss State of Decay 1. I only played maybe a week of it.
I remember playing State of Decay when it came out back in 2013 when I was waiting for Grand Theft Auto to release. It was the summer leading up to Grand Theft Auto 5's release. And then I read about this $10 budget title that was apparently one of the most hardcore zombie games. Gave it a try, and I probably put in at least 200 hours into that game, and I loved it. What are your first impressions of State of Decay 2?
So far, I'm really liking it. It's super challenging. Like, you can get frustrated. You do need your friends in this game. That's one of the big things. So the multiplayer aspect is something that really makes the game strive. But I don't know. I'm hoping later on, maybe, I don't know how this game will really work, but I want like DLC, more content, and stuff like that in the long run. What about you?
Well, so far, I love the game. I basically, it's State of Decay, bigger, better. Essentially, it's very similar to the first one. Sometimes I'm playing the second one, and I'm like, why am I playing State of Decay 1? You can't even tell that it's a sequel because it's so similar to the original.
I've heard that
too. But at the same
too.
Time, they have expanded on in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I didn't play 1 either, so I just heard Will like raving about State of Decay 2 for the last like month, so I thought I'd pick it up and play it. But yeah, I've heard from a lot of sources that it's like State of Decay 1.5.
I mean, basically the biggest new addition to this one is the co-op. And like Will was saying, I think it adds a whole other element to the game, because basically when you have someone else watching your back, it not only makes the game easier, but you can also collect more stuff because you have another person who can carry more inventory and they can carry more rucksacks back to the base. And that's sort of what the most fun that I've had so far is in co-op.
Don't forget, drive another vehicle.
And crash and blow them up like we did tonight.
In Mark's game, we destroyed 3 of his vehicles.
Yeah, so it didn't go very well for Mark.
So now my question for co-op is, so you have to, I know you have to jump into whoever the host player's world is. So when you're helping this host player improve his base, do you get any of the benefits back in your world and your home base?
So yes and no. It kind of works in a weird way. When you join the host's game, you're there to assist them. So your primary goal is to help them get supplies and build up their community. So any resources go to the host's base. So if we find a rucksack of medical supplies, a rucksack of ammunition, or building materials, food, etc., that all goes to the host community. But for example, say I pick up a gun or a backpack or something like that, or any consumable items, you can keep those.
Right, and then does your character level up like an RPG? Or
yeah, there are some light RPG elements, but it's basically you have cardio, wits, fighting, shooting skills, and then the more you use them, the more those level up based on 1 to, I think, 8 stars.
Okay.
So the more you use a skill, the more stars you get. And then once you max out the stars, you can specialize and you can get perks and stuff like that, special abilities, special weapons, that sort of, or movesets, that sort of thing.
Got it. And obviously you retain that at, when you go back to your own world, right?
Yep. You get to bring all the experience with you and all the stuff you've learned.
So when I start playing on Saturday with Will, he's just going to come into my world and just like tank for me because he's leveled like 99 because he's played for so long?
Pretty much.
That's awesome. Good.
The thing is, though, is that because when you join someone else's game, you use your own community survivors in their game. So the fact this game has permadeath can make it that if you die in your buddy's world, you will lose your character. So if you go back to your world, the character that died in Will's game, for example, will be gone when I go back to my world.
All right, now I think Will, just knowing that now, Will's definitely not going to sacrifice his level 99, you know, Ultra Orc or whatever the hell he is, in my world.
I don't have like a significant guy. I'm trying to work on all of them. Because you have to have, some of the guys will have four traits, so they have a fifth trait they can learn. So to help your community get better, you kind of want to teach them things. So like I have... what is it called? A utilities expert. I have a blacksmith. I have a craftsman. I have a gardener. I have a computer expert. It's stuff like that. So all my characters, I'm literally leveling together. So I'm not too worried about taking someone into another person's game because I'm going to level them anyways.
Gotcha. This game sounds like a lot of fun. And then for the community aspect in terms of your like home base, do you get to decide what becomes your home base? Like, you just choose a random building. You're like, oh, this looks cool. I like this building.
So basically, there's preset locations where you can make your home base. I think there's three maps that you can choose from when you start the game. I think each map has about five or six home base areas that you can turn into a base. And then the game kind of takes on, like, once you set up a base, it's not all just about survival and exploration and looting. There's a really in-depth base management / base creating system that they have going on. So you can build up workspaces in your base. So there'll be a workspace where you can build a garden, or you can build a workshop or an infirmary or a lounge where your characters can relax and stuff like that. And then you have to manage your resources and build those upgrades and kind of build your own base what you want.
Lounge area? That just threw me off. Why would you want to lounge during a zombie apocalypse? Like, shouldn't you be like finding food?
You have to manage morale in this game. So basically, there's like food, medical supplies.
Well, the food doesn't get delivered via like skip the dishes. It's a zombie apocalypse.
No, you have to go out and find it, and then manage your resources.
Yeah, but there's also a stat called morale. So if your morale gets too low, your survivors might just abandon and say, like, screw this, I'm leaving. And they might take a share of your ammunition and food and just dip.
Oh, and then you can go kill them and get it back?
Well, theoretically, yeah. I haven't ran into that yet. I did have some survivors steal some of my stuff, and I had to go Rick Grimes their ass to get my stuff back.
You're a warlord. I'm a sheriff. He plays bad. I play good.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if my basically my motto, which I'll spray paint onto the wall if I can, is if you don't work, you don't get fed. So if you're going to lounge in the lounge area, you can GTFO.
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things about the game, too, is there's over, I think the developers were saying, there's over 1,200 different traits that characters can randomly have. So, for example, I have a character named Sam, and she watched a lot of gardening TV shows before the apocalypse, so she has a high gardening skill. She's also very, she was very cleanly, so she has a high resistance to infection. But she's also very nosy and confrontational, so she pisses a lot of other survivors off.
Cool.
So, yeah, there's always going to be trade-offs. You'll never find the perfect character. They always have one flaw. Like, one girl I had was an expert carpenter, but she had really bad breath, so it pissed off other survivors. Stuff like that.
She had bad breath, and they don't have any Tic Tacs anymore. All the zombies ate them.
Apparently all the mouthwash is gone.
Yeah. I have one guy, his name's Reza. He likes to blow things up. He's confrontational. He likes to read, but he loves to fight.
Right. Loves to fight. Well, that's good. Go ahead.
Traits and characters are all randomly generated too. It's all random gen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, this game sounds like a lot of fun. I'm excited to play it, and I wish Mark was here to share his stories. I'm sure Mark gets mad at everything in that game because it's probably really hard. And that seems to be Mark's default is when it gets hard, start yelling.
He was getting very frustrated, but Brooks and his friend jumped into his game, gave him a big head start, and then I jumped in later on, and we kind of got Mark to the point now where his guys don't feel like they're going to commit suicide.
Yeah. All right, guys.
The good thing about... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say we should move on to and talk about... we'll talk about the Fortnite update, but finish your story, Brooks, before we do that.
I was just going to say it's sort of like a make your own adventure kind of game, so it's a lot more fun when you're with friends.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, Will, I basically booked him all weekend, so he's going to be playing video games with me. And like I said, I was going to say, like I said last podcast, but it wasn't the last podcast, I didn't say it at all. Anyways, yeah, my fiance is going away for the weekend, and she's like, I'm turning my phone off. I'm like, I'm okay with this. And then I just called Will and was like, Will, we're playing games all weekend, we're not sleeping. And he's like, all right. So yeah, that'll be fun. Anyways, so let's
gonna hit the grocery store tomorrow and get lots of energy drinks and some fresh coffee.
Oh man, I'm on a diet. I can't have energy drinks, like a commoner. Actually, I don't like energy drinks. They just make me feel gross.
Do you remember those ones we bought at PAX last year? I got to buy more of those. I can't remember the name, but I got to give a shout out to them in the future because I want to. That would be cool to get a sponsorship.
I don't remember that. I remember drinking Duff, like from The Simpsons, and being super disappointed that it was just like Orange Crush in a Duff can.
Yeah, the one I bought you from the game store. But no, remember they were giving away those samples and there's like mystery flavor stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I bought like two cases and they gave us a couple free packages and we had them like every day.
Yeah,
those are actually really good because they don't make you crash.
Can't be good for your heart.
Oh yeah, no, it's literally says right on the can, don't mix with alcohol. And then bars and clubs are like, oh yeah, boo, Jager bombs, boo. But anyway, so moving on to Fortnite, so they released a little thing in my bobber today, and it's called State of Development version 5. They got quite a few improvements coming out for Fortnite, and we're a little excited at some of these. We'll just list a couple off. We'll talk about the controller. They're going to be doing a little bit of a thing with controller remapping. They're improving Builder Pro, turbo building improvements, auto aim assist, custom bindings, all that kind of stuff. They're updating it. So with the Builder Pro improvements, this actually makes me happy because I've definitely noticed some issues with the Builder Pro mode, which is obviously my favorite controller mode because it just, you don't have to think about, you know, what material you're on or what, if you're on stairs or if you're on a roof or any of that kind of stuff like you do in the default mode. You can just literally push B and then pull right trigger and you got a wall, and you know, it really helps, especially when you're playing against PC players, to instantly build the wall and have that hotkeyed pretty much right away. So anyways, they're making some improvements. It says, we heard your feedback about Builder Pro feeling inconsistent. Sometimes after quickly switching to a building piece, it would not place when you push the button. Similarly, turbo building could force you to let go and repress the start build again, making it unreliable. We fixed these issues and Builder Pro should feel consistent, which is excellent. Will, do you play on Builder Pro, don't you?
I use Builder Pro, and that was one of the problems I had, is if I started building like a fort or something around me, sometimes if I was too fast, it would stop the building, and then I'd have to restart and go into and build again. But by that time, I'm usually like one shot by a pump or something.
Yeah, we've had a couple back-to-back like really shitty nights on Fortnite. Like, we literally hit the ground and we're dead. And then we just basically watch Brandon beat BJCMS, like carry our team. Literally all three of us are dead and he's just carrying our team and we get second. We're like, yeah, we got second.
Yeah, you know, like every game we played last night we got second or third, like every time, but we were always like pretty much dead and he played for like 10 minutes with us watching him.
Yeah, and then I just got fed up with like, I'm not gonna get better being dead, so I just went and played some solos and still died like right away. Yeah, the other night I played really, really well, like a week ago or so, but yeah, since then I've just been going downhill and I've been switching back and forth between controller and mouse and keyboard, but getting better with the mouse and keyboard part. Brooks, do you play Fortnite? We haven't played with you yet.
Oh,
so
yeah, I've played quite a bit of Fortnite.
Good. that's the discount version, right? That's the made by EA.
Oh yeah,
Value Village.
Yeah, I played a good amount of Fortnite, but I haven't gotten the building quite down yet. I'm more of a PUBG guy myself, so Fortnite, I always get owned as soon as the building battles come down. So
that's where
maybe
I die.
This, maybe the builder pro mode might help me, you know, with the hotkeys and stuff like that.
Yeah, because what it does is, do you play on Xbox or PS? Or PC?
Xbox.
Xbox, yeah. So with the Xbox controller, you push B to activate the building mode, and then right trigger is wall, left trigger, I believe, is... Oh, left trigger is stairs, and then right bumper is platform, and left bumper is roof. So, like, all four different kinds of things are assigned to those keys, and you just got to push it twice. So if you push B and then trigger twice, and then you have an instant wall. So that's really, really helpful.
I feel like this update is catered more towards the hardcore Fortnite players who are going to get a lot more mileage out of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. But I definitely, that was definitely needed, the builder pro mode for the console players, especially when you play against PC and they have like a million buttons on their mouse and they just own you in terms of building. So, yeah. But
I feel bad for the mobile players.
I mean, I'm sure the mobile version itself feels bad for the mobile players. It's like, we're just setting people up to fail. But, I mean, you know what? If you can't get enough Fortnite, if you're working all the time or whatever, then yeah, sure, you know, throw on the mobile game. But, I don't know. I would not want to be a mobile player playing against a PC player. It'd just be super frustrating.
No, you get wrecked.
Yeah, you get riggedy wrecked. All right, another thing on the controller. So aim assist says here on Epic's website, when playing with the controller and using edit mode to modify your buildings, aim assist will kick in and pull your crosshairs towards the closest square. And it will also try to confine your aim to the building pieces you're editing. We've heard some of the players find this feature uncomfortable to play with, so you'll be able to toggle edit mode aim assist off in the V4.3 update. So that's cool.
You know what they mean by that, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Like when you, okay. Yeah, they got the little 3x3 square of editing in the when you're editing a wall or something.
Yeah, like when you're trying to build like a door or something, yeah. It'll like instead of building two squares, it'll go right back to the first one. I've had that happen in the middle, and instead of making me a door, it'll make me a window.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so and then they got limited time modes and so a couple of items. So obviously this one's done now, but it's Solo Showdown, which I did pretty good in Solo Showdown, but I think all the good players were playing in solo, like just regular solo, and then like people who were like, I want to see how good I am, but they're not that good, went into the Solo Showdown because I got pretty far every time and I wasn't trying that hard, I guess. I don't know, it's hard to explain.
I enjoyed Solid Gold. That was pretty fun. I haven't tried their Blitz mode. I want to try that. I've heard good things.
The Blitz mode. What's that? I haven't seen that on the. What do you call it? The game mode selection. I just seen the solo duo.
It's one of those limited time ones that's there for like a week and then it disappears.
Oh, I see. Okay, and then they added the jetpack, which is freaking awesome, by the way. I got some sick kills the other night with the jetpack, where someone's like, you know, building something, and they have their back towards the cliffside, and I just like rocket up the cliffside, pump them in the back, and they're done.
I had a question though, quickly about Fortnite. Is it still the case where you can't switch weapons left on the D-pad? You have to scroll through your entire inventory to go back to the right.
No, on Builder Pro mode, it's they kind of merge Builder Pro and Combat Pro together, so you just have to, when you're in combat mode and not building mode, you just hit the bumpers and then it cycles through the weapons, whatever direction.
Oh,
whatever.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome. So I'm playing on, like I said, mouse and keyboard, and the one thing that really bothers me about mouse and keyboard is there's no button that like toggles between builder mode and combat mode. Like, you have to go in and physically, like, figure something out on your own. So what I've done is I've just assigned one key to take me back to my pickaxe when I'm in building mode. And then I have my left mouse button. It takes me to building mode and it takes me to the wall piece so I can build the wall really quick when I'm getting attacked. But, yeah, like, to switch back to weapons, what they wanted you to do was push whatever number on the keyboard to get to whatever the hell weapon it is, right? But I don't know. Then I'd have to, like, look at the keyboard, push a button, and then I'm taking my eyes off the screen. I don't know. I'm not a seasoned PC player, so like that to me feels wrong. But you know, if you play PC your whole life, I'm sure it's like, oh, four, yeah, blue, it's right there. Like, so. Anyways, they have a new little mode coming out called Playground, and it's basically like practice mode, which is what they needed 4 updates ago, really, because you know you can't practice when you're dead, like I said earlier. So So it says, battle and play to your heart's content with an extended period of time, roam around the map, as well as increased resource generation. All treasure chests and ammo crates will be spawned. Try dropping in different spots and scoping out the loot. Friendly fire's on so you can scrimmage with your squad, and up to 4 friends per match, but fear not, because you can respawn immediately. Oh, and loads of llamas. I found my first llama like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, what is this thing? Oh my god, lots of materials.
You know my first...
from the campaign.
Yeah.
You know, my first thought here, though, the friendly fire with the scrimmage, Rodney, it's going to be like 2v1, you and me versus Brandon. That's the only way we'll get better.
2v1, it's going to be 3v1. It's going to be me, you, Brian, and against Brandon, and then
maybe
Brandon's
Mark.
Going to kill us.
Brian's
all.
Gotten pretty good, too.
Well, yeah, Brian's pretty good. He's really good at sniping. He gets like 200-meter snipes like all day long, but yeah.
I feel like this is a good way for new players to get into the game and make it more accessible, though, because if you drop in and you get owned immediately, you really have no time to learn. There's no learning curve at all. You either pick it up or you don't.
The only learning time and practice time you have is when you're in the queuing area, but there's so many players online right now that you have like 10 seconds before you load into the queue area and then load into the match, you know, so you don't really, you literally have enough time to find a weapon and turn around and shoot someone like once, and it's like not enough time, let alone like find materials and then build something, right?
Rodney, how long did you last every time we dropped in on what was it yesterday?
Snobby
Shores.
I did okay. I got one really cool kill, but it was because I had a jetpack. But other than that, no, I didn't last too long.
That's literally what I mean, right? Like, you jump in, you drop in, and usually you die.
Yeah, usually. But you know what? I do okay. Okay, no, I say I do okay at Tilted Towers, but that's a goddamn lie. I drop in Tilted Towers, I get whatever weapon's there, I kill one person who has their back turned to me or doesn't have a weapon, and then I get owned, like, right away. So, yeah. I've cleared Tilted Towers like maybe twice in my whole Fortnite career, and I've usually had a helper like Mark or Brandon or somebody.
Yeah, it's the same thing with me. Remember yesterday that when we did Tilted, Brian respawned like you and I both twice, plus Brandon, so we had five respawns just on that, like in 5 minutes.
Yeah, Brian was playing medic like the whole game. Well, the whole like 2 minutes that we were alive. But I just seem to follow Will, and just bad things happen. So I'm just gonna stop following you, Will.
You didn't follow me. You dropped through the floor, and I died. And then you're just standing there, and I was like, "Hey, there's a person to your right." You just start like looking out the doorway.
I did not hear that. No, I dropped. I heard him set a trap down below, so I broke through the floor, and then I saw you there, and then you're like down and dying, and then I went to revive you. Did I hit the trap? I did. I hit the trap. And, I didn't hit the trap. I just got killed by the other guy.
She got you with the shotgun, like 5 feet away. Like, I'm surprised you didn't see her.
Yeah. Well, she was crouched so well. And, no. Anyways, moving on. We got some performance updates. They're gonna increase some performance on some things, which is extra cool. We got tracking... hitches in the wild. So it says in the version 4.1 update, we issued a hotfix to address some long hitches, but we're still seeing reports of these hitches in our data, and we've added additional logging and diagnostics to help us track down the issue. This can cause the game to freeze when you use in the in-game feedback report feature allows us to diagnose the issue. So I think what they're talking about hitches is that like when your game like glitches out and freezes for a second.
It's also like, say, I've had this as I thought I saw someone, but it was just something loading in the distance, and it didn't load in properly, right? Like a tree or something.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a hitch.
There's like one little black speck on my computer monitor. I'm like, oh, I think I see somebody, especially when I'm dropping in from the bus. And I'm like, oh, no, it's just a black speck on my monitor that I should just get rid of that right now. But
that's not a hitch.
Yeah. Just gotta wipe off my computer screen and stop sneezing. So optimize load time. So they're definitely gonna
this is a big one.
Yeah, we want you to get into the match in as short a time as possible after you hit play. We've been working to improve file performance, ensuring cosmetics are loaded in time, and reducing overall load times by optimizing order of assets in our patches. We reduce load times on console by 15 to 30 seconds in the V.35 update. Each major release, we regularly update the order of assets in order to keep load times down, which is awesome. Next one, we got server performance. We recently boosted the server tick rate from 20 hertz to a solid 30 hertz, which is total French to me because I don't know what any of that means. in the standard game modes. This means the server is updating the game 50% faster than before. It's like it literally read my or heard my last comment about this is all French to me, so just like spelt it out. But this should improve responsiveness of your actions in the game, but we still have work to do. Fast and consistent server performance is extremely important to us, and we're still working hard at it. So our next goal is to ensure that a large team LTM like 50v50 are hitting 30 hertz for the entire match. Cool stuff. So yeah, they're gonna also include or update server position updates and client network updates as well. So Fortnite's going to get faster, and as it should, because it has, you know, how many million players right now? And what did you said something earlier. I can't remember if it was on the air or not, Will. You said Epic Games made $300 million in April.
Yeah, just on in April alone. That's apparently crazy. I looked at the, it was on a news thing. I was like, oh, well, that's some money.
So
I probably gave them maybe $30-$40. So
yeah, so we
I guess if everyone gives them like $40-$50 a piece, like, you know, every time, you know, it adds up.
Well, I mean, Brandon spends money every freaking day, I swear to God, on some new costume or new emote or dance or whatever.
So. I want to, but the only one, costume I want to buy right now, well, actually, there's two. There's the Hound, which is a legendary outfit, and then another legendary is the Reaper, or the Reaver outfit. I want that, and the Reaper Scythe.
Right. All right, so there's two more sections here. So the quality of life, which I'm going to read this hoping that it's going to extend my life in the game, but it's not. So we got challenge progression notifications, which is kind of huge because, you know, you're going into a match going, okay, I need to get two more kills in Tsunami Shores. And then did you get them? Or no, the bigger one is like chests in Wailing Woods right now. So search seven chests in Wailing Woods. So then you're on the outskirts of Wailing Woods and you get a chest and you're like, well, did that count? Was that in Wailing Woods? Or whatever, right? So now they're going to introduce notifications to let you know how you're doing with your challenges. Next
this
is...
This one's going to also help out, though. Remember, week four challenge, which is going on right now, is to get open seven ammo crates in one game.
Yeah, that's...
It's really hard to keep track of how many you open unless, you know, you keep track of them in your head.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we got in-world markers. I actually, like you said earlier, Will, I didn't really have a problem with the markers right now either. I don't know if someone else has brought some sort of issue to the table or not, but it says marking positions on the map is a great way to communicate with your squad, but often the marker on the compass isn't enough to get you to your location. Oh, hang on, we got Mr. Mark. Oh, and he's got his phone turned to max vibration and... Oh my... Turn that off right now. Right now!
Oh, hey! There we go.
Yeah, there we go. And I don't hear your phone vibrating.
But back to the waypoint thing, I think sometimes when you're trying to rally with your teammates, a visual thing on screen actually does help. Because I can't... Like, you do have to take your eyes off the screen to check the compass sometimes. So having something on screen actually might be good, at least for a player like myself.
I was also thinking maybe that they also mean is the markers for your teammates without looking at the map. Because, you know, if you look at the map in-game, you could get killed. Maybe they're adding it to where it'll show your teammates on the compass a bit more accurately.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think that we need any more markers or anything else on the screen. Besides, like, because you're already looking for people, and like we read earlier, hitching or whatever, so like things are loading in kind of late and it looks like a person, so now they're gonna add in something else on the screen that you need to look out for. Like, you know, I just want to keep it clean, keep it how it is, and just so you can see any movement or any building or anything like that and not have to worry about anything else getting in the way of that. So
I agree.
Yeah, so moving on here, victory royale screen. Getting a victory royale should be a memorable experience, and the victory screen should support that. We want to freshen up the celebration and make it a bit more rewarding. I've only gotten one win in my like whole career because I'm so bad. And, well, mind you, actually, I lived all the way to the end. I died in the last 2 seconds of the match, but that death got us the win because Brandon came in and killed the two dudes. So, you know.
The thing is, though, is like, it is supposed to be memorable. If you look at PUBG has their little cute little chicken dinner thing, and
yeah,
for a long time now Fortnite's just had the boring victory royale banner on the bottom, so it's a good thing they spice it up, make it more memorable.
Yeah, for sure. So we also they're also updating the map. When you can zoom in on the map, if you open the map and push trigger or push whatever the PC equivalent is, I can't remember. I think it's the wheel, scroll wheel. But yeah, you can zoom in on the map, but the quality's kind of crappy. So they're rezzing that up, which is really good. Next, they got better footsteps and vertical audio, which is awesome because I was complaining to Will actually. You know, you're in Tilted Towers, you're in Big Bertha or Trump Tower, and you got you hear footsteps, and you're like, oh, they're right beside me. They're coming down the stairs right now, but they're actually two floors above you. So yeah, that's good. And next thing is they got spectator UI improvements. So the spectator can now see the item inventory, ammo, crosshairs, building edits, compass, and markers. That's awesome because, especially the compass, because, you know, you're watching your buddy and you see a guy to the right. You say, oh, there's a guy to your right, and then they spin all the way around, you know?
sorry to jump in on it. Can you now see the compass when you're spectating?
Yes, that's what it's saying. Yes. But I'm not sure when this is awesome. All coming out yet, but...
This is the things they're planning for right now.
Perfect. You know what I kind of was hoping, too, is I like the fact that now you can jump in to your friend's game and actually wait for them until they're actually done. But what I kind of would like is if I jump into your game and wait, I'm waiting for you. I'd like the fact that I would like to spectate your game.
Yeah.
Especially when like your friends go in the distance, you're waiting for them. I'd rather jump in. Like, you shouldn't be allowed to talk to him while he's playing, but you should be allowed to spectate and watch and be like, oh, he's going the distance.
I have a theory.
That's the thing, right? I think there is a spectator thing.
I know.
Not for when you jump into a game and you're waiting for your buddy. That's only when you're like playing.
I was going to say, sometimes playing...
You sure? I'm pretty sure there is.
You just want to watch.
No, dude, there's not.
Okay.
When I checked menu, I remember there was a thing to join game, and then it was when you were in a game, it said request spectate.
Maybe over PSN, but not over... Like, not when you join a lobby and you're waiting for your friend. I want to be able to be an option to just spectate now or something like that.
Right. I have a theory as to why they don't do that, and that's... solely to not like slow the game down for the people who are playing, because if you're joining the game, it's bringing another person into the server, right? So because when you first start, when the battle bus first starts moving and you have like all 100 players on the bus, the battle bus is kind of lagging just a little bit. Like, I'm sure you've noticed that it lags a little bit, and then you jump, and even when everyone's going to the actual map, like, it's kind of a little bit laggy a little bit. But as soon as people start dying off and start leaving the server, it just cleans right up. So I think they don't want to bring anybody else into the server and have it affect the performance of the game for the people who are actually playing. That's my theory. Yeah. I don't know how true that is or not.
No, that's probably a pretty good theory, because you can actually see, like, I don't know about you, Rod, you play on PC.
Yeah.
You can see your FPS drop when you, like, go into Tilted, or there's a lot of activity in Tilted. Yeah.
It's. I mean, 60 frames a second is the max. But yeah, when I jump out of the bus, it just dips right down to 34. So, anyways, one last thing they're improving here is the replay. So, in preparation for the Celebrity Pro Aim at E3, we've been working hard at work to making some improvements to the replay system. We're developing a new. I have so much things in my throat. Apparently, I haven't talked all day or something. We're developing a new camera feature that allows you to orbit around the point of your choosing, as well as having the camera automatically track the action for you by focusing on a group of players rather than just one person. We've also been refining the map view and replays to add more functionality to the playlist and add bullet trajectories to the player markers on the map. Additionally, players' nameplates have been tweaked to avoid overlapping where possible. Finally, we've been looking to improve a player outlines and adding an X-ray view for when players enter buildings or actively building themselves, so that you can always have the best view of what's happening. That's cool. I like that. That's cool. That's really awesome. Especially when you get like, oh, how did I die? I was like behind this wall or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to also mention the Keemstar's Friday Night Fortnite tournament. It's going to be an everyday Fortnite tournament. On Twitch, it's
every week.
That's what I meant. Every Friday tournament that's going to be on Twitch with a $10,000 prize pool.
Awesome, sounds cool. All right, we've talked about Fortnite for quite a while. I think we should jump into something else. Like, well,
we should go back to State of Decay and get Mark's input on it, because we've already covered our side.
How's State of Decay 2?
Yeah,
Mark?
I was wondering if you guys had talked about State of Decay yet. And it's a frustrating and beautiful game. But
you're only saying that because you blew up three of your cars, Mark.
Yeah, well, and I had you guys help me with all those plague hearts, but yes. And just, and it's tough, man. Like, if you're playing by yourself all the time and, like, you lose one of your heroes, it literally makes you want to not play the game anymore.
Yeah, so I said on the air that it's going to be pretty exciting to play that game, but I don't want you guys to lose your character because I'm such a nub and I am like level one, you know, orc trainer or something.
Yeah, I'll leave you in the dust, man. In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So
anyway, you just have to know what you can actually take on. Like if you see like a plague heart infestation, but you see like a horde walking by it as well, then be like, okay, well, let's wait for this horde to go by before we have like another 8 zombies while we're trying to do this.
But even the plague hearts, they're hard by yourself, man. They like spawn, like if it wasn't for you guys with me, you have one person that your AI, and the AI is so bad in this game that they get overwhelmed, and then it's you versus a plague heart versus 8 zombies, which is, it's pretty tough.
Is ammo hard to find in this game?
You can craft it, and it is pretty easy to come by. I mean, you don't have many rounds in your chamber before you have to reload, and then by that time, if there's 8 zombies around you, you're hooped.
It also depends on the caliber of the gun, too. Like, I have tons of 22 caliber ammo, but then I have very, very little 7.62 and 5.56 ammo. So, like, I can shoot off all the pea shooter rounds I want, but I only got 2 clips for the AK.
Right. Cool. All right, sorry, Mark. We already talked about State of Decay 2. You missed out.
Oh, hey, no worries.
You missed out, okay, buddy. All right, anyways, let's talk about Call of Duty Black Ops 4 for a little bit. I'm a little bit mixed on the game only because of the past ones I played. I picked up World War II having a little bit more expectations for it than I did for the past ones, but I don't know. Brooks, you were talking about it earlier. You watched the trailer. Did you watch the trailer for the multiplayer? And
yeah, honestly, I'm about to shit all over this game. I don't know if you guys want me to be completely honest, but I'm really disappointed in the route that Call of Duty's taking with this game. The fact that there's no single player at all, I think, is a damn shame, because I think Black Ops had some of the best single player experiences in the whole Call of Duty genre, and now it seems like with this new Battle Royale kind of mode, it seems like they're just cashing in on all the hype of Fortnite and PUBG and all this stuff. But honestly, I think it's shameless.
Yeah, I can agree with that for sure. I think people are going to play... I think everyone who's playing PUBG will play Call of Duty, the Battle Royale mode. And then, so PUBG will probably take a little bit of a hit from this. Because basically, you know, Call of Duty's been around since Christ was a child, so everyone's going to be like, oh, Call of Duty, but Battle Royale, blah, so they're going to jump on that right away.
Yeah, and it also really worries me with all the microtransactions.
Yeah.
And the loot crates and loot boxes and that sort of stuff. I just see this being a loot crate-y mess.
Totally.
Yeah, I agree.
I did.
On the upside, though, the zombies look sweet. I mean, I'm gonna guess that. I will say that.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. I already pre-ordered the game just because of the zombie mode. But when I was watching this, you shared it on our Facebook. But I watched the zombies trailer, and I thought I was watching like the trailer for like Fable 5 or something.
You know what's funny? Zombies is almost like the unsung hero of Call of Duty, and it's like the one thing that's like literally keeping this franchise going. I know all my friends love zombies; they're just like buy the game just for that.
Did any of you guys get Rainbow Six Siege vibes watching the multiplayer gameplay? Like when that guy busted out the shield and stuff like that. Like I just felt like it was trying to be Rainbow Six Siege.
I think they're starting to realize that Call of Duty has lost a lot of its fan base, and now the only people that keep playing it are pretty much the pro players and people that still enjoy the multiplayer aspect. But the game's become one of those games that, you know, you pick up and then you trade in the next week.
Yeah.
Unless you're good and you try and get competitive, because that's all it is it's a competitive game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I pre-ordered it, so I'm going to get access to the private beta, so I'm going to try it out and see how it is. I'm sure it's going to be like every other Call of Duty multiplayer game. Zombies will probably be cool, but yeah, I'm going to miss the campaign for sure, because, and that, like you said, well, they're going to lose a lot of their fans just because they got rid of the multiplayer. The single player.
They're boasting that it's like a huge battle. The Battle Royale map's going to be big. I mean, it's not hard to make it 100 times bigger than a Call of Duty map. The maps are tiny to begin with. And the one cool thing, though, is they are adding vehicles. So I don't know how that's going to turn out. Like, if you watch the trailer, there's a guy in a helicopter and there's a guy in a jet plane. So I don't know how a helicopter, an attack helicopter, and a jet plane are going to work in a battle royale kind of game mode.
Oh, dude, it's just like Battlefield. It'll be the same concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how balanced that'll be, though, in a battle royale type scenario.
Yeah. I mean, Battlefront's been doing it. Battlefield's been doing it. They all do that. I remember in Star Wars Battlefront, you can jump in an Ewok, and I can pepper guys on the ground, and I get, like, 40 kills.
Yeah. So here's the description. It's called the Battle Royale mode is called Blackout, and it says, in Blackout, Black Ops comes to life in one massive Battle Royale experience, combining Black Ops signature combat and the biggest map in Call of Duty history. Play as fan favorite characters and battle through the iconic settings from the Black Ops universe. This font is so small I can't even read it. It's a collision course to bringing together the worlds of Black Ops in an all-out survival and elimination experience featuring weapons, equipment, land, sea, and air vehicles, RCXDs, traps, and even zombies into the experience that is uniquely Black Ops. Alright, so it's just like one big Call of Duty salad. Like, basically, here's anything that was good in any of the Call of Duty games. And it's all in one game mode. And it's Battle Royale, which is what everyone wants.
Yeah, right now. I don't know. It just feels to me like a desperate attempt to stay relevant. Maybe I'm a hater, but that's just me.
I'm a hater too, but I pre-ordered it, so I'm going to give it a shot.
So. Do you think any of these games, Battlefield or Call of Duty 4, have any shot of, like, especially in, like, the professional gaming, like, Fortnite's all the rage right now. Do you think any of this has a shot of, like, maybe dethroning Fortnite a little bit, or at least hurting it?
Like I said in the last podcast, I think initially, as soon as Black Ops 4 comes out, Fortnite will take a little bit of a hit. I think, like I said, PUBG will be hit the hardest, because Call of Duty has the realistic graphics. It's something completely new-ish. So I think PUBG is going to take a big hit, but Fortnite will take, you know, a moderate hit for, like, a week, and then they'll be right back to where they were. I think everyone's going to realize that Call of Duty Black Ops 4, the blackout mode's kind of balls, and then they're going to go back to Fortnite.
Yeah.
What do you guys also think about, like, you know, now that Fortnite knows, like, everyone wants to be Fortnite, that's the thing, is the rumors now is, like, Fortnite is going to introduce new maps. Now, I know in, like, a battle royale type game, having the same map over and over again can really hurt its credibility and its profits. What do you think? Do you think, like, Call of Duty, if they just have this one big massive map, like maybe like three times the size of Fortnite's island or something?
Well, I like that question, and I've thought of this a lot too. Is I always get bored of, like, the same thing, like Battlefront. I got bored. Fortnite is kind of the one game that is always, even though it's the same map and it's the same game mode, the Epic Games has done a great job of making this game stay relevant, just like with its ever expanding, like, things to do in the world of of the map. Like, it's been good, and I think the building aspect alone is what keeps everyone coming back and playing. So I mean, I don't think people will get bored of Fortnite.
But see, like, in, like, Call of Duty now and in PUBG, and I bet you there's going to be a lot more Battle Royale games announced in E3 in, like, 2 weeks, is there's probably not going to be any building. Like, what is going to make these games stand out?
Oh, nothing. These games are going to flop. That's what I'm getting at, is they're going to be good for a little bit, like PUBG, and then everyone's going to go back to Fortnite because of the skill and, like, the fun and the challenge it is to take on another guy in Fortnite.
Yeah, and now I'm just thinking about how Call of Duty is going to is going to restrict the map, like, because on Fortnite, obviously, we got the circle, right? You gotta go to the circle, the storm's closing in, all that jazz. So how's Call of Duty gonna tackle that? Or are they just gonna
leave the storm?
Yeah, is it gonna be
PUBG uses it?
Yeah, is it gonna be like a fire storm or something?
Or it's gonna be a zombie swarm. I mean, they mentioned zombies in the mix too, so it could be a zombie swarm that circles in. And
right.
If you're outside the circle, you get a zombie horde attacking.
Yeah, because they need something, because what's gonna happen is they'll be like, oh, we have this huge gigantic map, and then everyone's just gonna camp, and then the game will go on forever. So
yeah, you have to have something bringing you into the circle.
Yeah.
Whether it be a storm or zombies. I think zombies would be interesting.
That would be the one thing that could make it interesting. Again, though, I wouldn't put it past them just ripping off a storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call of Duty. We rip on Call of Duty a lot on this podcast, but yeah, you know
I'm just bitter about Call of Duty.
Not as much as Destiny.
Yeah.
It's funny, yeah.
Man. Don't get me started.
You're mentioning off the air, you're a little tilted that... State of Decay 2 got a 5 on IGN, and he's like, well, these are the same guys that give Call of Duty every year a 10.
It's true, though. I mean, they did shit all over State of Decay 2, calling it unfinished, and they overlooked all the good aspects of the game, and they just tore up the graphical aspects.
But it's again, not polished.
No, but then again, they give the same Call of Duty games 9.5 every year, so I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, it was 9.5 when it first came out, like, what? 10 years ago? Not 10 years ago, more than that.
Going on like 12 years ago now.
Yeah, 12.
Can we also talk about the price, though? Like, State of Decay 2 for the normal edition is only $39.
What? Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a budget title.
So you could get the collector's... Yeah, you could get the collector's edition for the price of a normal game, which has more content. But for $40, I think you're getting a ton of content that is worth it, the money.
And okay, so, and like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, Rob. Sorry. What game was that for, Will? I was doing something technical here.
State of Decay 2 is only
$40. Yeah. Well, it's free with Game Pass too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get it for $10 too with gold.
Yeah.
So their offers are very cheap now. It's definitely a bang for your buck. But like, Microsoft did advertise this game as their new exclusive, and they pushed it out there on par with Sea of Thieves. Though it's backed by Microsoft, so. That's why GameSpot was so hard on them, because they said, oh, it's a big Microsoft title. We expect Microsoft polish is kind of their angle. But I mean, for a $30 game, like, what other games are you going to get for $30 that are that good?
Yeah, because people are going to spend $90 on...
The only thing that worries me with this game is the fact that, like, there's no really under... Like, so far, I haven't seen, and granted, I'm not too far in, but so far, I'm like, is there an underlying story... Or is this just the same thing that you're doing? Is it like all this game kind of reminds me of like a SimCity thing where you're just trying to manage everything?
It's supply run. It's supply run the game. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
But the good part about the game is like you got to get that last fucking, pardon my French, you got to get that last Pop-Tart. You got to get that last Strudel. And you're dying and you're out of gas and you're infected with blood plague and you're just trying to get that last Pop-Tart.
I'm gonna out.
That's the gameplay.
Yeah, game. They're gonna go out in style. Strawberry and banana Pop-Tart. Alright. So we're 50 minutes into the podcast, so we should move on to our last game, which is Battlefield 5, which last day yesterday. The day that is not today, but was yesterday. Guys at DICE did a reveal trailer, and they talked a little bit more about the game. And I gotta say, I'm pretty stoked. I need to make a GIF or GIF or however the hell you say it, of me like my literal reaction when I was reading this article on Engadget. I mean, I watched the trailer too, but.
I actually watched a lot of the because they did a live feed on Twitch. That game looks incredible. They take you through World War II. They give you grand operations, and they spanned over 5 days. And it's team versus team, and it's whoever can get the better of that team on that day. And then you move your forces into the next day. The game sounds incredible.
Yeah, you know, a couple podcasts ago when we were talking about Battlefield before and then we pitched our little idea with the general at the map or whatever. I mean, obviously they wouldn't have had enough time if they listened to the podcast to be like, oh, that's a good idea and implement it into the game. But that's a pretty good second thing from what we were talking about for sure. But
I was thinking about that when I was hearing this and I was like, no way, it's kind of similar along the lines of our idea.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just going down the list here of the stuff they talked about. So obviously they want this game to be squad based, which is really cool. And I was saying off the air, I hope they played Halo 5 and don't do what they did. You know, make it good. But yeah, like I said in the other Battlefield podcast, like Battlefield 1 was just so good. They just did so many things right, And I just hope that they bring all that over into this new game. And it sounds like they're just, they did, and they're making it way more expansive and way more cooperative based.
I mean, I'm, as someone who's played at least 400 hours of Battlefield 1, I'm super excited for this game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love Battlefield 1. I love the historical setting. And I'm happy we're going back to World War II, and it's going to be done right. Unlike, I hate to bash Call of Duty again, but unlike generic Call of Duty, I feel like DICE can actually do World War I justice.
Yeah, and sorry, Mark, I cut you off. But like I said off the air, too, is, you know, Call of Duty and you know, Splinter Cell and any other really good FPS game, doesn't they just say, okay, yeah, you're in World War II, go kill all those people, and they make it about the war, you know? But Battlefield 1 made it about the people that fought in World War I, and it was a way more emotional driven game where it's like, oh, we're in Black Bess and we gotta keep it alive all the way to the end. And like, that the campaign was really, really good in Battlefield 1 just for that reason. It was a way better storytelling game than most of the other FPSs on the market right now.
I gotta agree with you there, Rodney. I was just gonna bring up Call of Duty when they did World War II. I think it was on the GameCube I had it, where it's just, all right, we gotta take the hill, go up and take the hill. Whereas when you played Battlefield, like, you didn't want Johnny to die. You loved Johnny. Johnny was your boy. And like, I know, they made it way more emotionally involved and driven, and it makes you actually want to play the good, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
I just hope they bring the behemoths back, because the behemoths made multiplayer so much more dynamic, how you could literally like turn the tide of a battle when the airship came in or the armored train or something. Yeah. Like that. I feel like they could do a lot with that in the World War II.
Yeah, so they say, variety is the spice of war. This is on Engadget. Variety is the spice of war. Massive multiplayer warfare is the hallmark of the Battlefield franchise. DICE is only offering an early look at what's new today. More details and the first hands-on impressions will come at the E3 play in June, around E3. Still, there's enough to talk about. On purely visual note, terrain will now have an impact on how players appear to move through the environment. They'll lift their legs higher when in water, slip on mud, stumble over rocks, and perhaps thud against cover if you're approaching it at speed. This should make everyone on the front line feel a bit more realistic as they sprint towards the action in your... Oh, I can't even... That's a big word for me. I can't say that word. Sorry, guys. I don't have an English degree. I'm not even going to attempt it. It won't affect the actual gameplay, of course. Even if you appear to be slipping to an observer, you won't notice anything in your first-person view. It won't inject too much randomness. So that's interesting. I was getting Call of Duty and this game kind of mixed up because I started reading both of them at the same time, and then after like in a couple of hours, I couldn't tell the difference between the two. But now that I'm getting back into this, I think... I watched a gameplay trailer of Call of Duty, and they still had all the HUD and all that kind of garbage on it. But Battlefield 5, I don't think they have anything. There's no like heads-up display, like here's your squad mates, or here's an enemy player, or you know, any of that kind of stuff. Like, you literally have to find each person as they are in the world.
They probably just turn that off for the demo, though. They usually just turn all the UI off for demos just to show it off, make it look more cinematic. I mean, it's probably going to be in there.
Yeah, fair enough. But I think that's cool because then you really have to pay attention to your surroundings and the game you become more immersed in the game because you're paying so much attention to everything that's going on. So, yeah. So they got a couple of game modes. They're really pushing the co-op stuff. It's a stick to your squad, soldier, and then they talk about all the wonderfulness that is squad play. So, like I said, in Halo 5, it was like, if you play by yourself, your squad AI was just garbage. So it's going to be nice to play with other people, because it was hard to find somebody who had Halo 5 and had time to play Halo 5 because it was so garbage that no one freaking bought it to play the single player. So I'm excited to jump into the multiplayer and squad up with a couple of other cool people.
I'm also looking forward to the campaign too. Unlike Call of Duty, it looks like this one's actually going to have a single player mode, which is nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've always loved the Battlefield single-player campaigns. They're very story-driven and very immersive, where they don't just introduce a character and you don't learn anything about them. You kind of feel like you become that character.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you really care about the guys that you're going to war with.
Exactly.
All right, so Mark, you mentioned this earlier, but so there's the game mode called Grand Operations. Let's read this out on Engage's website again. Operations was a new type of online match that debuted at Battlefield 1, spreading the action out over different game modes and maps. Grand Operations takes the same idea with more of an elaborate multiplayer campaign. Even further, so including custom rule sets and map layouts, these matches will take place over four fictional days. Four real days, how about that? You can't sleep. Each one of a different game type. There will, however, be consistent narrative trying each one together and how you will tackle one objective to directly impact the next. So like you said, you keep playing each day and each day and each day, and you know, whoever does the best on each day, you know, impacts what happens on the next day. So that's really cool. I really liked Operations in Battlefield 1. And the only thing I didn't like was there's a couple levels where it was like Sniper Alley. Like the one I'm thinking of is the one, the first one in the sand, like the sand map, Brooks. You know the one I'm talking about where it's like the little
Sinai Desert. Yeah. Desert.
So there's that one. That one was okay, but there was lots of areas around the map for snipers to set up. And then the next map after that, like literally if you were defending, like you won because...
Suez Canal. I mean, they definitely, like, some of the maps definitely favor the defenders.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some balancing issues they need to work out. I hope they do fix that. I mean, they did change some of the spawn points, some of the map boundaries later on in Battlefield 1's lifetime because of how it favored the defenders so much in some maps.
Yeah.
It's something they're going to have to work on.
It's all trial and error, right? Good players find and exploit stuff that was put into the game, and then they got to reel it in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this game looks unbelievable. The graphics look insane, and I'm so excited.
Do we have a release date?
Yes.
October 19th.
Yes, October 19th. Oh, and
so that far away. I'll be picking up.
We're still going to be working. That's the depressing thing.
So here's what we're going to do, boys. We're going to pick up Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which comes out October 12th. We're going to hate it, and then October 19th, when Battlefield 5 comes out, we'll trade that in for that. Yeah, it'll be freaking awesome.
I think I'm going to pass on the Call of Duty.
$80 game.
Yeah, but it'll be in high demand, so you'll probably get you'll just get the whole game back, or you can just take it back. Be like, yeah, it's defective, it's garbage.
I mean, I hate to crap on Call of Duty again, but I honestly think Battlefield once again is going to blow it out of the water. Like, what could happen when they released that Infinity Warfare, and then Battlefield 1 came out, and then I think it's going to be the same story now. Call of Duty is going to try this lame ass battle royale, and then Battlefield's just gonna crap all over it.
Yeah, as it should, because Battlefield has more soul. I feel Call of Duty is just like a cyborg, has no emotions, no nothing. But Battlefield's, you know, the soul and body.
Are they both made by EA?
No.
Call of Duty.
Yeah,
it's owned by EA though, right?
No. Activision's completely different.
Completely different. Oh, okay.
Trying to think. Treyarch, Activision do Call of Duty. And Battlefield is DICE and EA, I believe. I'm just gonna
DICE and EA. Oh, okay, yes. So that's funny that the EA game would have more soul.
Yeah, the irony.
Well, it's because DICE is involved, and they're like, "Whoa, EA, why do you want to release this game? It's like a year from being finished now."
whoa! We got this. Relax.
Shots fired.
Yeah. So, anyways, guys. Well,
all the other EA games that have come out too fast, like Battlefront, is one of them.
Mass Effect, yeah.
And we haven't actually touched on this. What do you think the loot crate, like, what do you think the, what is that going to be like?
Oh, for Battlefront, or Battlefield, they said there is no microtransactions. None.
Yeah,
this makes me so happy.
Crap that you get from rewards and stuff like that. So it's probably going to be the same as Battlefield 1. I don't know. Call of Duty is going to be a mess, man. I can just see, like, in the Battle Royale. Can you imagine a Battle Royale game with microtransactions? Like, oh, yeah, I pay $20 and I get a better Scar L off the beginning of the map. Like, it's not going to be fair.
Oh, you died? Pay us $10 and you can continue.
Yeah.
Maybe, like,
yeah.
In the old arcade days.
I was really expecting Call of Duty to re-energize the series now and do something new and different, and I just think they're taking a wrong turn with this.
Man,
they definitely have.
I just got a nice warm feeling in my heart thinking about Battlefield, because it's just like, hey, gaming community, here's a fantastic game. We know you don't like microtransactions because they're garbage. Here's a nice story that takes you through an engaging single player, and here's an awesome Battlefield 5. If it was a person.
The story, though, there, Rodney, is the funny thing is it's the same company, DICE, that got all the heat for Battlefront.
See, so that's good, though, because now DICE is learning from their mistakes. They go, okay, this didn't work in this game, so let's not just rinse and recycle.
That was EA, though. That was EA that pushed that into the game, not DICE.
Oh, yeah that's, sorry, true. That's what I meant. But yeah, like I said, DICE is overseeing, you know, it's doing most of the developing, I'm sure, but EA's, I'm sure, helping out in ways. EA's really good at doing motion capture, like, for the games, because they obviously have the EA Sports franchise, right? And then they have the Batman games as well, so they're really good at doing motion capture and stuff. So for the realism inside the games, that's obviously what EA is doing. But DICE definitely knows how to develop a game and make it actually fun to play.
I just
hope they don't release their servers, because I remember, like, if you guys remember Battlefield 4, that game was cancer when it came out. It was so broken, and I just hope they don't make the same mistake again.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme nowadays, too, where developers are completely under, I don't even know the word I want to use, under estimating how many people are actually going to buy and play the game online at launch, and then there's lots of server issues with lots of modern games. Sea of Thieves being one of them. The other one?
Grand Theft Auto when that first came out.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto was another one. I don't think Fortnite had any issues. Fortnite had a slow ramp up, I think. Like, as soon as it was released.
It started on PC.
Yeah, it started on PC. You know, it had a slow ramp up. People were downloading it. You know, maybe they had 50,000 players, and then it started to ramp up. I mean, the ramp increased dramatically, but they had enough time to adjust the load to the servers and get more servers or whatever, and they worked that out. So, okay, boys, we've gone over. This is the first podcast I think we've recorded that's been over an hour.
So. I want to bring up one thing that has me really excited. So I'm going to say straight up, Rodney, if this is introduced and the pre-order is a day I'm working, I'm going to call in sick. Just heads up.
All right.
The rumor is flying around right now that Nintendo filed a patent this week for N64.
How about this, Will? Don't call in sick. I will give you a day at the Fraserwood stage and you can literally just play games all day.
I was talking more that I might have to go pre-order this console.
Oh, can't you do that?
Did you guys hear about the PlayStation 1 Classic? I heard rumors also that they might do.
God damn it!
Classic.
God damn it!
I shared that on the Facebook page.
P.S.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yep.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I guess the.
Is it going to be PlayStation might have seen the success. Like better graphics? Like why?
No, it's going to be classic. It's retro, just like Nintendo's done the NES and the. SNES.
Okay, I gotta complain for a sec, because this kind of pisses me off. Like, PlayStation needs to stop copying Nintendo on shit. Like, they copied... The PS3 was like, oh, hey, look, guys, we got motion controls now. It's like, well, we did it first. And then now they're coming out with PS Classic after the Nintendo came out with the NES Classic and the SNES Classic. Like, fuck off. Yeah.
Fact, though, that PlayStation
Move was called...
Yeah, it was better than Nintendo Wii U.
Yeah,
also more expensive.
It was literally copy paste. Like if someone was holding PlayStation Move and they took a picture, you could literally Photoshop out the Move and just put the Wiimotes in. It's like the same thing. It's like literally the same thing.
I just thought of something though. Like PlayStation Classic, Xbox Classic. Can you imagine the mini black box?
Oh, that's too soon.
That's way too stupid. Well, the only game they'd have on it is Halo.
Yeah, pretty well. You can pretty much play any other classic game from the Xbox on.
With but what other classic games
pretty much. Compatible? Yeah.
Mind you can play Halo 1 on. Yeah, you can play Halo 1 on Master Chief Collection anyway. So what does it matter?
Yeah. But yeah, going back to this, can you guys, what do you think? An N64 mini or a classic, whatever you want to call it.
That's going to literally break the market like in half.
Oh, I probably
just to play Star Fox, just to play Star Fox 64 again and Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Okay, good money.
Yeah, I would. And then
that with an emulator on your computer and a controller.
Well, and they've also re-released like every game that made any sort of money on the 64 on the 3DS anyway.
But the thing that makes these goods, like a lot of these games, like these classics, like Star Fox 64, Zelda or Ocarina of Time, to actually track down an N64 copy, you're going to be paying like $90.
Or you you're right, but I'm just saying you could get an emulator on your computer that will run it.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying this is like a mini console for like $100. Yeah.
I know, but
I'm buying that. Raspberry Pi is like,
you guys
like
are
for my 8-year-old nephew. I think that would be the perfect gift, you know, for those kind of people who are so young they didn't get those games.
Yeah, but it's so hard to get young people into like the classics that we're into. Like I mean, we were born in the 90s, so I mean, mind you, we got into the NES and the SNES, but like think of getting a 10-year-old kid like, "Oh, dude, play this Mario game from 1985." They'd be like so done. They'd be like, "No, the graphics are like too blocky for me.
I want to go play Fortnite."
Yeah, just punch him in the face. No, you're grounded until you beat Super Mario. Good luck.
That would just be so mean, because that's actually a very hard game.
No, mean would be, hey, finish the first Legend of Zelda and you only have 4 hours. Okay, go. Except,
well, if they looked it up on the internet, there's that little cheat thing that you can finish the game in like 10 minutes.
Well, so. It doesn't make it any easier. You still gotta dodge all those Wizdrobes in the seventh dungeon. There's like eight Wizdrobes in one room, and then there's also like the knights in the same room, and you have to dodge every. Oh my god, that room killed me so many times.
I remember that room. I threw a controller or two.
Yeah. Another thing that's coming out is Nintendo isn't bringing back Virtual Console, but they're introducing something else. Let me just look it up. I remember hearing about it. So quickly, yeah, they're not bringing back Virtual Console, they're bringing back something else,
some sort of streaming
program. Yeah, that's what it was.
It's like PlayStation uses,
yeah, no, it's like Netflix but for Nintendo games, basically.
Yeah,
yeah,
PlayStation has the same thing, so this time Nintendo's actually copying, but whatever.
Hey, you know, give some and take some, I guess.
Yeah, that's how this industry works. There's not really anything original anymore.
Well, yeah.
Xbox can't copy some of the success PlayStation and Nintendo has been having.
Well, Nintendo and PlayStation have been at war since PlayStation's inception, and they were fighting like even in like 1998. They're like, like punching each other in the face, and then Xbox just like literally kicks down the door. It's like, "What's up, everybody?" And then Xbox just has been doing its own thing for the last like 20 years.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, same thing. Xbox is just doing its own thing as time goes on. It's like, hey, we just want to make like a more powerful console, man. So like, here's the Scorpio. And then Nintendo's like, hey, we want to do something different. You know, here's the Wii U. And then PS is just like, hey, that Wii idea was a good idea. Here's our idea. That's the same thing. So yeah,
but with a bunch of better games.
Yeah, true. mind you, PS has gone and taken over the VR market, really.
Yeah, they have.
So, I mean, I don't know how many good games there are for the PSVR, but more than Nintendo and Xbox have right now.
Yeah.
Xbox VR?
No, not really.
Well, they do. They actually have the exclusive rights to the Oculus.
Oh.
That's what they purchased last year. So they haven't done anything with those rights other than having their PC games have Oculus like VR titles. So I have a feeling we might see something, because remember they scrapped the HoloLens that they were working on?
Yeah.
So here's to Xbox finally maybe taking advantage of the Oculus this year.
That'd be cool. I want to play Star Trek Bridge Crew again, because that was a fun game we played.
I just want to play Subnautica in VR.
Yeah. Bridge Crew just got an expansion today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, brand new DLC.
That game was really fun.
When I was working, I was so close to buying the PlayStation VR 2. I'm kind of sad I didn't pull the trigger.
I know, because then it was like $300 for the thing, and then you just have to buy the controller because it was on sale that time. We both should have done it.
Yeah. All right, boys, we should wrap it up. Brooks is in Tirana, and it's 1 a.m. now there, so 72 minutes into the podcast, you know. All right, guys, thanks a lot. If you made it this all the way to the end, thanks a lot for supporting us, and we'd love to hear your comments and what you think of the show. Join us on our Facebook page or our website, and let us know what you think, and let us know what you think about the games we talked about today. State of Decay 2, if you've played it, what are your thoughts, or are you looking forward to play it? Call of Duty Black Ops 4, and if you're playing some Fortnite, good for you. Battlefield 5, that's coming out soon. So, yeah, let us know what you guys think. Love to hear from you. And we're finally going to release our Drunk Games podcast. Or not Drunk Games podcast. Drunk Games that you play when you're drunk this weekend. I'm going to show Will how to use the edit thing so I don't have to do it all myself. Anyways, yeah. Okay, guys. See you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.